I've been on a lot of walks lately. There haven't been many other opportunities to get out of the house after all. I've been taking quarantine very seriously. One of my best friends got sick with coronavirus and had to be hospitalized for several weeks, so I'm treading carefully during this pandemic. On top of that, I recently quit my job and decided to take a few weeks off while I figured out what I wanted to do next. So, I'm spending almost all of my time at home. For the most part, I don't mind. I'm not a particularly social person, so the distancing doesn't bother me, and I've got plenty to do at home. Still, I do start to get a little stir-crazy being cooped up in the house all the time. Besides, I've always enjoyed taking a walk around the neighbourhood to get a little fresh air and clear my mind. Walking helps me think through my problems, make decisions, and come up with ideas. So, I've been trying to take a walk around my neighbourhood once a day, just to help me stay sane. Of course, I live in Arizona, where it is currently about 115 degrees outside, so walks are tricky. I usually go out either at night or early in the morning before the sun comes up. That way, it's a little cooler outside, and there usually aren't too many people out for me to worry about avoiding. As an added bonus, walks in the dark can be quite creepy, which suits me just fine, as a lifelong horror fan. Sometimes, I even listen to a spooky podcast in my headphones to try to scare myself. I had my headphones on when I went for my walk 6 nights ago. I left the house about 11 p.m, a little later than usual. It had been a particularly hot day, and I had been feeling lazy, so I thought about skipping the walk entirely. But I knew that if I did, my legs would get restless and I would have trouble sleeping that night, so I decided to go ahead and go. As always, I brought my switchblade, just to be on the safe side. The knife was a gift from my brother, and while I'd never used it and never really expected to need to, I kept it sharp and always brought it along with me when I went out after dark. Better safe than sorry. At that time of night, the neighbourhood streets were quiet and mostly deserted. Save for a few passing cars, I didn't encounter anyone as I walked peacefully. I followed my normal route for a few minutes, but stopped when I got to the little neighbourhood park. I usually made my way through this park on my walks. It was normally well lit by a series of old-fashioned lampposts strategically placed throughout the park, but at this late hour, all of the lampposts were off. It occurred to me that I had no idea when this park technically closed. Of course, even if it was closed, there was nothing really stopping me from walking through it. I thought about it, but I knew that a lot of people walked their dogs through this park, and even though there were signs posted everywhere telling pet owners to clean up after their animals, a lot of them didn't. With the park shrouded in darkness that was only disturbed by the gentle moonlight, I wouldn't be able to see where I was placing my feet, and I didn't want to risk stepping in anything. I decided I would take a different route that night and explore a different part of the neighbourhood. Instead of cutting through the park, I walked around its outskirts. I kept walking until I came across a well-lit alleyway. I live in a fairly nice neighbourhood, as you can probably gather from the fact that we have our own park. In addition to the park, there are also a few alleys that sort of tie in with the park system, and this appeared to be one of them. The gravel alleyway was extra wide with a paved path in the middle for walking and bicycling. The path was lined with a series of waist-high lampposts which cast a gentle glow in the alley, illuminating the scattered trees and bushes which grew in the gravel. The lampposts themselves were painted in gentle grey to blend in with the landscape. The whole scene almost felt more like a hiking trail than an alley. It looked like a nice place to walk. So, I crossed the street and turned onto the paved path. Almost immediately, I noticed a small rock placed at the base of the first lamppost on the left side of the path. Painted with a bright blue sheen, the rock caught the gentle light of the lamppost and stood out from the grey gravel around it. The word "welcome" was painted on the rock in yellow lettering. I smiled. Ever since the pandemic hit, I had been seeing little painted rocks like these around the neighbourhood. They were usually painted in bright colours with happy little messages. I assumed they were the work of bored neighbours. A nice little art project from people stuck inside with too much time on their hands. Whoever it was, I appreciated them for taking the time to spread a little positivity during the pandemic. Finding these rocks on my walks always brought a little smile to my face. I looked ahead to the next lamppost, which was about 15 feet ahead and on the alternate side of the path. Sure enough, I saw that another rock was glittered at the base of the second lamppost, this one painted a glossy red with orange lettering. As I approached, the letters came into clearer view. "Smile," it said. So I did. I kept walking down the path and made a mental note to remember the location of this alley. I might have to adjust my normal route and walk this path more often. There was a lamppost every 15 or 20 feet on alternating sides of the path. As I suspected, at each lamppost, I found a colourful glossy rock with a painted message. I made a point to pause and read them all as I walked. "Be kind," one of them said. "We love you," said another. One just had a little yellow smiley face. "Have fun, dance, stay safe, stop." I paused. This one was different from the others. The word "stop" was painted in red, but the rock itself had not been painted at all. It was a smooth grey stone that blended in well with the gravel surrounding it. The message gave me pause as well, as it didn't fit with the tone of the others at all. I stared at it for a moment, then shrugged and moved on. I wondered if maybe that rock was unfinished. Maybe someone would be back to add to it later. Maybe it would eventually say, "Stop worrying," or something like that. I moved my gaze ahead to the next lamppost and frowned. Once again, there was a rock, but it wasn't painted with any bright or glossy colours. I could see red letters on the plain grey stone, and as I got closer, I read them. "Wait." Puzzled, I kept walking. The next rock was similar to the last two. "Turn back," it said in red lettering. But of course, I didn't turn back. At this point, my curiosity was piqued, and there was no way I was going to turn back now. In fact, I walked faster, eager to see what the next rock said. "Don't," was next. At the next lamppost again, but in a bolder lettering and all capital letters. "Don't." I started to grin. This was starting to get just a tiny bit creepy, and I loved it. I wondered if there was a horror fan in the neighbourhood, someone who decided to break up the positivity with a little spookiness. It seemed like something I would do, frankly. I glanced ahead to the next lamppost and saw that there were two rocks under this one. As I got closer, I noticed that their letters were not painted at all. Instead, it looked like someone had written in these in black Sharpie. One of them said, "Really?" The other, in very bold lettering, "Stop." But of course, I kept walking. The next lamppost had four rocks, each of them plain grey stone, each with a single word scribbled in Sharpie. "What are you doing?" Then, at the next lamppost, two more. "Turn back. Now." At this point, I have to admit that I was starting to get a little creeped out. I wasn't sure why. They were just rocks after all. No different than the colourful ones from before, except that these were put here by someone with a slightly darker sense of fun. It probably didn't help that I was still listening to my horror podcast, and it was pretty late at night. For whatever reason, I found myself glancing at shadows as I walked, looking for signs of movement. When I reached the next lamppost, I finally stopped in my tracks. The rock under this post was larger than the others, and the message that was scrawled on it sent shivers running up and down my spine. "He'll kill you," it seemed to me that this one went a little too far. I was actually surprised that someone had gotten away with writing something like that in a public place, on a path where parents probably walk their children. I glanced ahead down the gently winding path. From where I was standing, I could only see 3 more lampposts. After that was pitch black darkness. I guessed that some of the lampposts were probably broken, which was a common problem in these alleyways. I thought about turning back. This was creepy enough that I wasn't sure how I would feel about continuing once there was no light. But the logical part of my brain insisted that I was being silly. They were just rocks after all, just someone's silly joke. And I wasn't scared of the dark. Besides, if I really had trouble seeing, I could always use the flashlight on my phone. There was no point in turning back. I'd been walking in this alley for several minutes now, so I had to be approaching another street soon anyway. Still, I stood there, indecisively for a few moments. I'd almost talked myself into turning back when something else caught my eye. I squinted ahead at the next lamppost. There was no rock on the ground at its base. Instead, it looked like someone had written something on the lamppost itself. The text was not facing me, but was instead angled toward the path, so I couldn't quite make out what it said from where I was standing. But this was another escalation. Writing creepy messages on scattered rocks was one thing, but this was actual vandalism now. I hesitated, thinking. In the end, curiosity won out. The horror fan in me wanted to see what came next, and wouldn't let me turn back. I kept walking, at a slower pace this time, creeping forward until I could read the text that had been scribbled on the lamppost in black Sharpie. This is not a joke. While my logical brain protested the silly precaution, instinct ignored logic, and I found myself reaching into my pocket and pulling out the switchblade. I held it in one hand, my thumb resting on the button that would extend the blade if I needed it. Better safe than sorry, I guess. Looking ahead, I saw that more words had been written on the next lamppost, and I kept moving. "Stop," was written at the top of the post in bold lettering. Below that, in a more hasty scribble, the warning from before was repeated. "He will kill you." I frowned and looked ahead again, eyeballing the last lamppost I could see. Its light illuminated the path for a few feet past it. Beyond that was total darkness. Again, I could see writing on the post, but I couldn't make it out. At this point, I was committed. I had to know. Feeling genuinely unsettled now, I pushed the button on my switchblade, and the inner spring mechanism extended the blade in an instant. I tightened my fist around the knife and held it at the ready as I crept forward toward the last light. I stopped a few feet away when I could finally make out what was written on the post. "He is here." As soon as I read the words, the light flickered off. I gasped. In that moment, I almost turned and ran for it. I probably would have, except that when I turned around, the light from the next closest lamppost flickered off too, and I found myself standing in almost total darkness. My pulse quickened. I yanked my headphones off and hung them around my neck, then listened, half expecting to hear the sound of gravel crunching beneath footsteps. I could hear a cicada chirping somewhere nearby. Otherwise, the world was silent. I stood perfectly still, doing everything in my power not to disturb that silence, my eyes darting around in an effort to probe the darkness that had so suddenly surrounded me. After a moment, I finally remembered my cell phone. I took it out of my pocket with my free hand, turned on the screen, and switched on the flashlight app. The light was plenty bright enough to illuminate my surroundings, so I spun around on the spot, holding my phone out in front of me, shining it on the path and the surrounding alleyway. Some part of my brain was expecting to find a shadowy figure, someone lurking in the night. But I was alone. I did notice something else, though. More painted rocks. Lots of them. They littered the ground behind the lamppost, whose light had gone out as I approached it. There were dozens of them. Some of them painted bright colours, others plain grey. From what I could see, they all had messages written on them. Some painted in glossy colours, others scrawled in Sharpie. I didn't even try to read them all, but a few caught my eye as I scanned the area. Love, peace, there will be blood. Keep safe, you will die here. Here he is, oh no. Help each other, wash your hands, don't turn around. I swept my gaze further and further from the path. And then I froze. In the light of my phone, I could see the fence on the side of the alley. The fence itself looked perfectly ordinary, constructed from cinder blocks, just like the fence in my own backyard. But my gaze settled on a wooden gate set in the fence, almost directly behind the lamppost. Even from where I was standing, I could see that the wood was warped and rotted. It almost looked like it was older than the fence it was set in. That was odd enough in and of itself, but that wasn't what caught my attention. A single word was written on the gate in enormous crimson letters. Run. And I should have. But I was captivated. I stared at the letters, gently glittering in the light from my phone, as if the paint was fresh. All of a sudden, a light came on from the other side of the fence, and I heard the sound of a door closing. My eyes widened. Someone was outside. I hurried to turn the flashlight off on my phone, plunging myself back into darkness. In my other hand, I held the switchblade in a tight grip, my hands shaking. Every ounce of me was conflicted between the desire to flee and the need to stay still and avoid making any noise. I waited, and I listened. For a moment, there was silence, and then came a sound that I would have said sounded like a whispering voice, except it was coming from the other side of the fence, and I wasn't close enough to hear anyone whispering. Perhaps a hissing then? And then a sound that might have been a bird flapping its wings. I stayed perfectly still, holding my breath. I don't know if I could have moved if I wanted to. I don't know how much time passed. My gaze was fixed on the gate, looking for any signs of movement. Everything was quiet. Everything was still. Several moments passed in this tense stalemate while I waited for something to happen. Then, finally, I noticed them. A pair of eyes peering at me over the gate. I shouldn't have been able to see them. With my phone off and the alley dark, the only light came from the house behind them. But there they were. Light blue eyes, glinting in a non-existent light. They were motionless, unblinking, as if they were part of the gate, as if they'd been there all along. I stared at them in abject terror, unable to believe what I was seeing. And they stared right back at me. Then they began to rise, higher and higher above the gate. The silhouette of a hooded figure slowly came into view around my eyes. Its arms were outstretched towards me, yet it continued to rise steadily. And I was struck with the icy thought that it was not climbing the gate, but instead floating up. Apart from the eyes, I could not see its face under the hood, but I swear it was smiling at me. I could feel it in my bones. Finally, the spell was broken. Fight or flight instinct kicked in, and I had zero intention of fighting, switchblade be damned. I turned and ran in the direction I had come from as fast as my legs would carry me. While the lampposts nearest to me had flickered out, I could see the other lampposts ahead. And I welcomed the light as I sprinted down the path. I never looked back, and I never slowed down. I could hear the strange whispering sound, even over the noise of my own pounding footsteps. I didn't dare look back. Before long, I could see the end of the alley ahead of me, and the open space of the park beyond it. I burst out of the alley, turned sharply toward home, and ran along beside the park. I did not stop running until I reached my home front door. Only then did I finally allow myself to look back over my shoulder. Everything looked normal, and I didn't hear the whispering anymore. Still, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. I hastily unlocked my front door, went inside, slammed the door shut behind me, and locked it once more. After a second's hesitation, I put the chain on, which I normally never feel the need to do. I pressed my eye to the peephole and waited. I don't know how long I stood there, breathing heavily, staring out the peephole. I know I didn't see anything out of the ordinary, and eventually I took a deep breath and backed away. I thought about putting my switchblade away, but I honestly felt better holding it. I glanced at my phone and did a double take when I saw the time. 2:06 a.m. I'd been gone for 3 hours. I thought it had only been maybe 40 minutes. Just how long had I stood there in the darkness with those eyes watching me? As you can probably tell, I didn't sleep that night. I didn't sleep very much for the next 3 nights, in fact, and I certainly didn't take any walks. As much as I tried to put the whole incident out of my mind, I just couldn't. The image kept creeping back into my mind. A hooded figure floating up over the gate, arms outstretched towards me, eyes glowing in the darkness. Every time I looked outside into my own backyard, part of me expected to see that hooded figure hovering over my own fence, coming for me. I thought about my own alley, and I worried about what messages I might find scribbled there on rocks if I looked. I tried to convince myself that it had just been my imagination. I had been listening to a scary podcast after all, and walking later at night than I was used to. Maybe I just scared myself and let my mind play tricks on me in the darkness of the night. After 3 days of paranoia, I decided to go back to the alley. I didn't want to, but I felt like I needed to. I needed to see the alley in the comforting light of day. I needed to see that they were just rocks. It didn't take me long to find the alley, but I didn't recognize it at first. I'm sure I found the right one, because the waist-high lampposts were unmistakable. But I was confused, because there were no colored rocks. When I looked more closely, I saw indentations in the gravel where the rocks had been before, and I decided that someone must have removed them. I walked down the alley, switchblade in hand despite the daylight. Everything seemed normal. I did feel a spike of trepidation when I found the warped and rotted gate, but even that didn't quite look so weird in the light of day. There was no painted word on it. It was just an old gate. The fence itself wasn't exactly new either. There were certainly no peering eyes over the gate, no hooded figure, no rocks littering the ground. There wasn't even any graffiti on the lampposts. I sighed, feeling both relieved and a bit silly. I put the switchblade away and turned to walk home again. By the time I got back to my house, I'd almost convinced myself that I had imagined everything. But that all fell apart when I got inside. I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary at first. I closed and locked the door behind me. I put my keys and switchblade on the table in the entryway. I walked toward the kitchen to get a glass of water. And then I saw it and froze. There, right in the center of my kitchen table, was a small blue rock with the word "Welcome" painted on it in yellow lettering.